Good morning. It is time to get up with the NBA playoffs. No Giannis, no problem. Dame came up big in game one. Can he carry the load through round one? Meanwhile, are the Sixers getting too cute with their most valuable asset? Should Joel take a seat? Would it be best to rest? And then, oh, Graziano is back with insight. He'll tell you how this national champ is going to rewrite the script of the top of the entire NFL draft. All that, a whole lot more. Let's do this thing, people.
Let's go!
Time to get up on a huge week. We are presented by ESPN Bet. We are jam-packed. Jay, Will, and Allen have all the hoops covered for you. Graziano is back from a delightful-sounding cruise, which we'll dive into.
One man is looking close to me.
Look at this guy.
Are you a brother?
The week of the draft is here, which means Mel Kiper Jr. and RG3 will be here as well. We'll get to all of that. But let's start with the hoops from yesterday. If you didn't see it, Jay Will, Dame Lillard, spectacular in the first half of Milwaukee-Indiana Game 1. Dame had 35 in the half, and they go on to win. What statement did the Bucks make in Game 1?
I mean, look, anytime you win a game in the playoffs, it's a statement win, especially for the Bucks, who haven't been great defensively. But the reality is Tyrese Haliburton has not been the same since his injury. And this is a major thing. Seven shots in 37 minutes for 9 points. Haliburton has to be different because this is the reason why you brought Dame to Milwaukee.
Allen, a lot of people liked Indiana before this series began. Did this change your perspective at all?
No, I still like him. I mean, first of all, why are you guarding him one-on-one? How many times is he in one-on-one situations? That had to change, and it did in the second half. Rick Carlisle made the adjustment. Look, the Pacers don't have a lot of playoff experience. It certainly showed in that first half. Third quarter, though, 29-14, got things back. They actually got back into this game a little bit. I think they made the adjustment they needed to make. This was a statement half. It was Dame time, but he did not play it for a full game. This is still an up for grabs.
You taking Indiana?
I am still taking Indiana.
I'll give you $10 on it. I'll take
a lot of people liked Indiana in here last week. We'll see if any of that changes. Meanwhile, the Clippers thumped the Mavericks in game one of that, a game you saw on ABC yesterday afternoon. It was actually a fascinating tale of two halves.
Yes.
The Mavericks couldn't possibly play worse than they played in the first half of that game yesterday. And then they came back and actually made it a game late. What statement came out of that game to you?
I watched these two teams. You're right about the halves. And, I mean, the Clippers, really, you talk about statements. They made a statement because the Clippers were a team that we don't really talk a lot about. But the way they're built, you could argue they are built to take on a team like the Denver Nuggets. They got bigs. They've got stars. They have experience. And they have really good coaching.
Mm.
But down the stretch of the regular season, they fell off. So you stop. You're wondering, like, can I believe in them? Can I trust them? Then that first half happened. I started believing and trusting in them again. The Mavs have all the same things. Stars, experience, and good coaching, and good defense. So whoever wins this series, Jay, I think could be a team that could take on Denver.
I know this is said on face, but I think there's a little bit with the Dallas Mavericks considering Kawhi Leonard did not play in that first half. The Clippers really set the tone with energy. I mean, they executed the first 10 possessions in that game, and I think you found the Mavs being down, which is why it led to a better second half. I think the Mavs are going to be okay here.
Yep.
And I'll give you some. 33 points for Luka, 31 points for Kyrie, 33 points for the rest of the team.
Not good.
You can't get them to play ISO ball. And if you're Mavs, you have to get other people
involved.
It was
too much Luka ISO in this game, and he wasn't shooting the ball.
So I think Jason Kidd's going to make those adjustments in the second
game. Do you agree the winner of this series has the best chance of taking out Denver in the West?
No, I do not. I think Minnesota has the best chance of taking out Denver in the West.
Okay, we'll come back to that. In the meantime, I want to get to something that was
just shake your head.
A very big
starting already. Jay.
We're going to argue all day long. So something of a big deal was made of this on social media yesterday. The Celtics took out the Heat in game one. No Jimmy Butler. I think we all expect that Boston will win this series, and maybe easily. But that play right there, Caleb Martin, and it came shortly after a timeout, and it is late in a game that is decided, taking out Jason Tatum. Some suggestion I've seen all over the place, I think it started with Brian Scalabrine, that this was a dirty play.
Well,
Jay?
Can we address a couple of things? Number one, it wasn't a timeout by Espo. It was a coach's challenge.
Okay. Well,
okay. But no, so, but
the play had stopped.
That goes into the context of, oh, this was predetermined.
It
was
ordered the code red or code red, right?
Yeah,
out of the timeout.
If you watch the replay, and I'm not excusing any physicality from Miami. Miami is one of the most physical teams in the league. But if you watch the replay slowly, look at Caleb Martin's eyes. He's chasing the ball.
Yep.
He's watching the ball. He's watching the ball.
Going for a box out.
Circumstantial contact is what happened on Jason Tatum.
Yep.
He fell. But like knowing Eric Spoelstra, knowing Pat Riley, knowing Mickey and Nick Arison, the owners of the team, I get they're a physical team, but they're not trying to take Jason Tatum out of the series with them. With a malicious act like that.
But you know why the accusation will hold up? Because it's on brand. It's Miami.
They're a physical team.
They play tough. You can never, ever let up against this team because you never know because they're always going to play hard.
But look at his eyes.
That's a guy playing hard.
He's tracking the ball.
No, I'm not arguing with you on the intent. I don't see intent here. I see a guy that's playing hard. He's going for a box out, putting his hip in. Did not know that Tatum was going to jump. But also, how many times do you see a play like that and immediately the player puts his hand out as if to apologize? Like, my bad, which is what he did. And Jaylen Brown said, not with my guy. Get out of here. And that's fine. That's what started really the pushing.
Can we bring it back to a fundamental basketball thing real quick? By the way, Jason Tatum, instead of watching a flight of ball, you got to check somebody. Welcome to the playoffs. You got to check somebody. You got to find somebody, box out, right? Yep. Like, that's what they do. They're going to crash the offensive glass. Yeah.
Jrue Holiday also gives him a little bit of a shove there, a nudge, which also, I think, impacted Caleb Martin. One way or another, it seemed worth mentioning because there was a lot of conversation about it on social media and elsewhere. That's some of the action that we had yesterday. But let's go back to Saturday, where I think the most important and interesting thing happening in round one happened. And Allen was right there with a close-up view. Joel Embiid is officially listed as questionable for game two tonight. I think he's going to be questionable for every game they play the rest of the playoffs. This was the scare we saw at the end of the first half on Saturday. A remarkable play, Embiid throwing the one-handed dunk to himself and then goes down again. How many times have we seen this? He did return to play 20 minutes in the second half. And look, if you need, this tells you the whole story.
Everything.
With Embiid on the floor, they're plus 14. With him off the floor, they're minus 21. Perhaps I could more simply say, if Embiid is on the floor and
they're better,
anywhere near healthy, they win the series. And if he isn't, they lose the series. That might be an oversimplification, but I don't think it's unrealistic. You were right there, you told me, in the tunnel watching him.
Yes, yeah, so I was literally there as he walked by after the injury happened. And the look on his eye was one of, he was shocked. He was stunned. He was just, eyes, he didn't even blink as he was walking. He was dragging the leg. And the trainers are chasing him down the hall. I went into the back hall and followed. He said nothing. He was absolutely quiet as he was limping to the locker room. And in my mind, I thought, we're not seeing this guy again. Maybe not for the rest of the series. I waited in the tunnel throughout the half, and they were about to start the second half. Everybody was already out. And as I stood there, I felt somebody bump my shoulder walking by. It was him. And I said, holy bleep, man. I looked him in the eye. I was like, I can't believe you're going back out there. And he didn't say a word, just kept going. And then when he went out, again, he wasn't the same player as he was in the first. He was dominant in the first half. But his presence alone was enough that the Knicks had to always account for him, had to worry about him. And that is something that I think the Sixers, who, by the way, you saw the way that first half ended, they were dispirited when they saw their guy walk off the floor.
How could you not be?
You could see it take a lot out of them, and it's why the Knicks were able to turn a double-digit deficit into a lead by the half.
So, Jay, There are people who
are
saying...
Are you going to ask it?
So we have a coordinating producer on the show named John Fink. And I would really like to create a segment for him called Overthinking It or something like that. Because he sits in our meeting in the morning and he just starts yelling. And what he's yelling about today is the Sixers are playing fast and loose with Joel Embiid. He should be sitting out. There's no way in the world he's healthy. He's risking his knee. He's risking his career. They're risking their most valuable asset.
Sit out, USA basketball.
Be out there.
Sit out, USA basketball. You play this game to win championships. If you miss games in five of the 11 playoff series in your career entering this year, it's go time. And I hear if the injury is something in which he can't go, you're going to entrust in your best player to say, okay, I got it. But you got to think about the pressure on Joel Embiid, that the pressure that Joel Embiid has put on himself that we all feel as athletes or players. It feels like every year we talk about Joel Embiid missing time due to an injury. This is a chance for him to go get it. And by the way, they're getting beat on the margins. Second chance points, offensive rebounds, by the way. You need Joel Embiid in the game. You're getting beat on transition points. When it comes to the half court, Philly's a better team. It's the extra character efforts around the game, which is why you need your star player.
The really sad thing about this is that with Embiid on the floor, they're the best team in the NBA. That's not an opinion. The numbers say that. They had the best record in the NBA this year.
Which version?
In games in which he played. Well, but that's my point.
Yeah.
Is that's not going to change here. Is he healthy enough to play or not? Realistically, it does look like every single play could be his last, and you do worry with his history of injury that this is going to be something that causes concern into next year and beyond.
Keep in mind, this is three games now, and in two of them, he tweaked the knee and had to leave the game and then came back to play, and when he did come back, wasn't the same. Keep that in mind. He is recovering from an injury. It's not major. Meniscus is serious, but not like ACL or something like that. So he was able to return within time. But I'm looking at it like this, and I know this was the question asked in the postgame right after this game by Philadelphia reporters to Nick Nurse. Should he be playing? Should you shut him down?
What's the answer?
And Nick Nurse said no. For me, when you think about where he is in the prime of his career, Tyrese Maxey has emerged as an all-star. They're going to have the ability to chase a star. And we all know that Daryl Morey, the general manager, is really good at getting stars. There are names like Paul George, Donovan Mitchell, players like that that they can add to this team, have a big three, and have a chance to win a championship, a legit chance. So why, with a hobbled Embiid, have him play on one leg, risk whatever it is if he could injure it more, or just not playing well enough and then take that kind of criticism? Why do all of that? And I'm with you. If he's hurt, don't play in the Olympics, even though he wants to. But next season, with what they could do with that roster, they could really be a championship contender. But if he does something and tweaks it, now all of a sudden we're talking about another surgery or something more.
That's fine.
It costs you time.
I'm just going to say something very quickly. I think we are talking about perception versus reality. The reality is what you stated, but the perception has become over time. We're always kicking the can down the road. We're always looking to next season. And that's a significant thing now.
This time it's legit.
I understand, but when you start talking
about superstars. I watched that man drag that leg up and down the floor.
I'm not saying it's illegitimate. All I'm saying to you is when the theme is about kicking the can down the road, that is a concern because we're always talking about next year.
We'll have much more on this as we go, plus Lakers Nuggets. But in case you didn't see it, the best athlete on any NBA court yesterday was not any of the players. It was Red Panda.
Yes!
Red Panda again?
She is the most incredible thing I've ever seen in my life. Phenomenal. This is not the act of a human being. How does this happen?
Magician.
I mean, she's been doing this for like 15 years. Now
Giving
it
way more. She's been doing it for way more than 15 years. But that's ridiculous.
She was doing this at halftime of your games with the Chicago Bulls.
Yes.
Think about that.
Wow. Are you just trying
I'm
to
just
take
saying,
me now?
Like, a long time.
That's
a long time, Jay.
I'm sorry.
It still hasn't dropped the bowl.
If that was a magic trick, I would say there's no way it's real, right? There's just no way that's real. And yet, live in front of all those people, she never doesn't get it.
How does she stick that landing and not hurt herself?
I had
well
no
idea.
And heels. And heels, by the way.
She's the best athlete in the NBA. Coming up, all the athletes coming in the NFL draft. We are T-minus 3 days and counting. We have huge questions. Who will be number two? Are the Pats dealing at number three? Who's trading up? Mel Kiper is going to join us with all the answers. Plus, Dak to the future. Did you hear what he had to say? Could he possibly be leaving the Cowboys? He's talking about it. And you'll hear it as this hour continues. Let's get up on ESPN. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Shopping for Mother's Day is usually a challenge because you wait until the last minute, but Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day. Whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement, Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by category like fragrance, handbags, and more, or gift lists like for the mom who has everything, pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, and Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day is May 12th. It'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder.
Get Up is presented by ESPN Bet, the official sportsbook of ESPN. Roger, take it.
I'm Eminem. This is Roger Goodell. And we are so fired up this year for the NFL Draft.
Live from the D.
You can just say Detroit.
That's what I said.
And you said the D.
Detroit!
Am I being punked?
The D.
I gotta tell you, they showed me that last week for the first time. That's actually hilarious. That made Mel laugh. Look at Mel. Mel is laughing. Mel Kiper, it's 3 days from Christmas and he's Santa Claus. Graziano back from a cruise. Yeah, what'd you think of that? A little Roger and Eminem having some fun.
That's pretty good. Cutting loose. The commish.
We are ready to roll for the draft. Mel is ready to go. And here's what I want to do today, Mel. You are always the person being asked questions, right? You go on this show, you go on every show. Mel, walk the streets of Mel Kiper on the day of the draft, and people are just shouting questions at him. Today, I want to turn the tables. I want you to ask the questions. What are your 3 biggest questions going into Thursday night?
Hey, a guy that I kept waiting for to get him in the first round, get him in my top 25 big board, get him up in the top 10, J.J. McCarthy. Where does J.J. McCarthy land? What team makes that move? Does he get past 6? Does he drop to Minnesota? Does Minnesota trade up to get him? Does New England audibleize and go away from Drake May and take J.J. McCarthy? I have J.J. McCarthy 15 on my big board. Somebody's going to get him in the top 5 or 6. To the Chargers and Jim Harbaugh, let somebody go to 5 and get his quarterback, J.J. McCarthy. It's going to be fun to see where J.J. McCarthy ends up going. The Arizona Cardinals, to get an A draft, have to get a receiver. Okay, do they take a receiver at 4? Do they trade down? Do they trade back up? Monty Austin, Fort GM, likes to do that. But you got to get one of the big 3, whether it's Marvin Harrison Jr., whether it's Malik Nabers or Romo Dunze, they have to get one of the big 3 elite receivers. They can't get too cute and lose these 3, because if they do, they're not getting an A, they're getting a C minus. So the Cardinals have to get an elite receiver. What they do with that 4th pick overall, trading down or keeping it, going to be really interesting. If you look at my 3rd and final question, the quarterback that goes at number 2, which quarterback is it? Is it Jaden Daniels, who I think it will be and should be, or is it Drake May? Drake May certainly has all the talent in the world, but the struggles late in the year are the reason Jaden Daniels, for me, gets the nod at pick number 2. That's the burning question right now. Pick number 2. New England had 3 of the question as well, but Washington, guys, is doing a great job, I think, delaying it, letting everybody think that they still don't know. Guess what? They do know who they're picking it to, but they're keeping that drama going, that intrigue, and the guessing game going, which is what we all want. We don't want to know. We know 1. We don't want to know 2 until that name is called.
Well, our friends at ESPN Bet, they believe it is going to be Jaden Daniels, and we've seen the odds move a lot over the course of the last month or so. You see the roller coaster they've been on. It began with Drake May as a sizable favorite to be the second pick in this draft. As late as last week, those odds had moved heavily in favor of Jaden Daniels. They've slowly worked their way back in this direction since then. RG3 is good. We've had some technical issues getting him up this morning, but Robert is ready to go. Great to have you as always, but Graziano, great to have you back. And that's where I want to begin. What are you, as you returned, as you got, you came back on land, terra firma from your little cruise, and you start working the phones like crazy. What are we hearing at two?
So at two, I think most people seem to think at this point it'll be Jaden Daniels. To Mel's point about Washington, their decision-making process has been extremely deliberate, right? And they had a unique situation last week where they brought in a bunch of prospects all at once, including four of the top quarterbacks all at once and kind of had them have a day together. I think at this point where Washington, so what happens today and tomorrow with most of these teams is they sort of gather one more time. They go over the medicals one more time. They kind of have this, you know, finalizing meeting where, like, anybody who doesn't think this is a good idea, speak up, right? And then they finally settle on it. So I think Washington has reached that point. Who they have settled on, we will see. Again, most people you talk to think it'll be Jaden Daniels, but they have kept it pretty quiet.
So you're saying that without certainty in your voice.
There is one thing I'm certain of in terms of Thursday night, and it is the first pick.
And so the second becomes interesting. And I happen, if you look on the right side of your screen, here's a man who was once the second pick in the draft to Washington. So
there he is.
He knows a little bit about this. Robert, if you were making that pick, assuming Caleb Williams is off the board at that point, who would you take?
Yeah, Greeny, I'm taking Jaden Daniels. And I've been a little frustrated with the conversation because when you look at these two guys, they're both tall and athletic. They both have extreme arm talent. They both do really good things athletically. It's just that Jaden Daniels is much better in his pre-snap evaluation at the line of scrimmage, his post-snap decision-making, and he's just a better player right now. So I think they will go with Jaden Daniels. They understand that he makes them a better team. He helps them win today, tomorrow, and 5 years from now, and I'm excited to see him wearing that Commander's colors and really bringing the city back to life.
Mel, how about it? Because we sometimes look at floor and we look at ceiling. And I think a lot of people view Drake May as a player who there's a little more variability in this. I mean, Jaden Daniels showed us last year. He's spectacular. Drake May, I think the questions are, can he reach all of the potential that he so clearly seems to have? How do you see it, Mel?
I agree with you. Jaden Daniels nailed it. He had a phenomenal year. And I think Drake May could have maybe challenged Caleb Williams with a great year, but he didn't. He had struggles against Virginia, NC State, throws that you have to make, he didn't. Now, he can build on that. Obviously, he can be a great quarterback. There's things he needs to work through. He needs some time. He's 21 years of age. Jaden's 23. Think about Jaden Daniels from start to finish. Didn't have a hiccup. Drake May had several hiccups along the way late in the year when Tez Walker was in that lineup. And there were no excuses, okay? You know, throws that need to be made. He had time. The receivers were there. They weren't accurate. They weren't precise. Where Jaden was playing great football in the SEC and getting it done against Alabama in back-to-back years, Nick Saban had no answer for him. To RG3's point, Jaden Daniels right now is the better quarterback. There's no reason to believe he can't be great. It's not like he's as good as he's ever going to be. He's the ultimate dual threat. He's drawing comparisons to Lamar Jackson and Randall Cunningham. Are you kidding me? For those who are saying Drake May has more potential than Jaden Daniels, they're nuts.
Robert, finish it up, RG3.
Yeah, Greeny, I just want to tell everybody out there, like, they should have zero concern about what the Commanders are doing and what they did bringing in the four quarterbacks at once. Mm-hmm. Like, I've had a coach tell me this before. When you look at the tape, the highlights are on the film, but the character isn't. So they're trying to see how these guys are as guys, how they are as leaders, how they interact with their teammates. Because when you watch the tape, as Mel said, there's not very much that's separating this group of 2 to 6, but what can separate them is when you look at what Adam Peters went through when he was in San Francisco. They picked a guy with the last pick in the draft, and he ended up being their franchise quarterback. They understand that the talent isn't that wide, but who the guy is matters more than how good of a player they are.
Yeah, they also traded up like crazy to go get a guy who wound up not working out at all in Trey Lance. So you never know how these things are going to go. We're going to get to J.J. McCarthy coming up with Graz a little later because that's where this thing gets really interesting. In the meantime, we'll also get to Dallas. Did you hear what Dak had to say about his future? He talked about it this weekend. He sounds like a person who's ready to do what I've been saying he should do for a long time. So what does that mean Dallas should do this week? We'll talk about it. Plus, is it about to be one and done for LeBron and the Lakers? Do the Nuggets just have their number? Is there anything LA can do? We'll go in search of those answers next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Approaching the bottom of the hour, you're watching Get Up. We are presented by ESPN Bet. And let's go back to the NBA on a day where we're
doing it,
racing around. Shooting the J with Jay Will. Here we go. Are KD and the Suns on the verge or about to get swept by Minnesota?
No, I don't think they're on the verge. I think one of the things the Suns had to do, 16 assists on 38 made field goals. They have to not play ISO basketball. I think you need to see the ball move, and I think Frank Vogel will, in this next matchup, you'll see a different Bradley Beal and Devin Booker with the way they facilitate their offense.
If they see the same Anthony Edwards, it may not make a whole lot of difference. How good was he? Let's go to the Knicks on Saturday night. Was that a bad game or a bad sign for Jalen Brunson, who shot 8 of 26?
I just think it was a bad game. I mean, don't get me wrong. I give Philadelphia a lot of credit with their size, their length. Kelly Oubre, obviously, you're seeing with that deterrent shots. But look, the one thing I've known Jalen since he's been 5 years old playing with his father, Rick, you can't stop certain players like him from getting to places where they want to be on the court. I think he will bounce back.
All right. When then discuss about the Lakers, are they going to win even a single game in this series against the Nuggets?
It's going to be sweet.
Ooh.
It's going to be sweet. I'm really concerned. And I think, look, even if you were to tell me, Greeny, which I do not believe, that Jamal Murray and Jokic were the same as LeBron and AD, because I believe that duo is better, it's the personnel outside of those two where I think it heavily favors Denver. Heavily.
Yeah, look, so there's a lot of different directions we can take this conversation. Game two of that series is tonight. The Nuggets have beaten the Lakers in 9 straight meetings. Alan with us as well this morning. Let's start with the tape. You've put together some tape on the Lakers for us and how they struggled in game one.
Well, there's one thing just on fast break points, okay? Like this thing about they got 21 fast break points. And we look at how they got out in offense, right? You're going to see the way it breaks down here. Just transition, right? So you're going to see a drive to the rim. You're going to see a block here, okay? Now watch when the block comes and pay attention to the bottom of your screen, right? AD and Taurean Prince, look, please get in the frame. Get in the frame. Just get in the frame. Get in the frame. No. AD's trailing down. Prince not late to get in the frame. Boom. KCP 4-3. And then also matchups, right? We're talking about perception versus reality. This is the matchup that they're going to attack all the time. If Rui Hachimura is guarding the likes of Joker, look, boom, right to the post. Light work. There's nothing he can do. The footwork is incredible. So, Greeny, this is what it comes to. This is a bigger play, right? Mm-hmm. We were talking about this in the back. I know defensively the game plan is going to be Rui Hachimura against Joker and deny him, make touches tough. But if you have Anthony Davis on the court, at some point, even though if he gets in foul trouble, Don't you want the best player on your team to be like, get out of here, he's mine. I got him. That's what we see all great players do, right? No, get out of the way. I know that's what the matchup is, coach, but I want him. I'm not saying that's going to be the answer, but that's the perception of what you want from one of your best defensive players to own that matchup against the Joker.
Maybe in a few isolated possessions, but you just said the most important thing. Nikola Jokic will get him in foul trouble. It's a bad matchup for him. It's a bad matchup for them.
Give me a matchup then. What matchup is better?
You know what's better? Oklahoma City would have been better for the Lakers. Allen and I were right. You can say whatever you want. If the Lakers had lost that game on Tuesday night in the play-in, they would have then played Sacramento, who, oh, by the way, lost to a Zion-less Pelicans team, and so now the Lakers would be playing Oklahoma City. So everyone who made fun of us, made fun, primarily me, but you too, for saying that they should have lost, and the coach can say whatever they want. At the end of the day, the Lakers have no one. They're not beating Denver. If they win a game, it will be successful.
Yeah, LeBron has lost 5 straight games in the playoffs now, all to the same team, right? The Denver Nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
That's ties the most losses consecutive in the playoffs for him. So this is new ground for him. And if he gets knocked out in the first round, it's only the second time in his career that's ever happened as well. So this is all new for LeBron James. But for this matchup, when you are a franchise, everything's about strategy. When I have LeBron James at 39 years old, it's about strategy. I want to make sure I have the optimal matchups to go as deep as I possibly can. You know why you also want to avoid Denver early? Because you never know what might happen along the road to a potential Western Conference Finals rematch. Because as you know, teams take a bite out of other teams, and you never know. All that stuff is very possible. And you just showed it. You talk about, oh, well, LeBron will be tired. AD will be more worn out. He looked tired already in the fourth quarter of that game.
Jay's upset.
This is the most ludicrous comment you've ever heard in your life.
Here we go.
Go ahead. Let him go.
This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. You're telling me that if word got out that LeBron sat down with management, it was like, let's lose this game. Can you believe?
Why does word have to get out? Why could you not be LeBron?
Because word inevitably gets out in this world we live in.
It doesn't have to be LeBron's
secret.
It's good strategy.
You need LeBron James, one of the greatest players to ever walk the planet, to buy into that.
Okay.
You can't do that without LeBron James saying,
well, of course not.
You know what?
He has to sign off. But if you explain it to him in that way, what business operates in the way
of
put your head down and run through the brick wall?
When would Michael Jordan, when would Kobe Bryant, when would any of the greatest players of all time sign off on losing a game? On purpose, as a strategy measure. Never.
Better matchup. That's
never.
Why.
Please,
you always take the better matchup.
Never ask LeBron James.
All right, well, then you'll be out.
I would never ask as a player. Who we run into is who we run into. Okay. I ain't run away from no smoke ever in my life.
I get
so first
it.
Off, I'm not going to say, well, if we lose here, then we can play against OKC. It's a favorite. No, if we run into Denver, we're going to run into Denver.
What's the end game? What's the end game?
To win a championship.
Thank you. How do you get there? The best way possible, the best path to championship is through Denver.
So let me beat Denver then, because if I beat Denver, give me my crown. So let me show you my crown. I got it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to run away from that. Right. Why are we going to ask?
And the probability of that is almost
zero. We would never do this to Michael Jordan. You would never say to Michael Jordan, oh, run away from this matchup, and now you're going to try to do that to LeBron James? You guys are part of the reason why people look at him that way. He ain't built like that. That's not who LeBron James is.
And I
wouldn't run away from that smoke.
I wouldn't expect otherwise.
No.
And that's why they did exactly what I expected. They went out there and they won the game. They did what you're saying they needed to do. And on some level, you're right. And that's probably why you played and we didn't. But at the same time, it is inarguable that they would have had a better chance of staying alive and seeing what happened if they had found a way to get themselves on the other side of the draw.
I won't even let LeBron take the blame. I'll take the blame. I'll say this was my decision. We are doing it this way.
To be clear, you don't put players on the court and tell them to lose. That's not what I'm saying.
Agreed.
But you sit Anthony Davis, a little back spasm. Mm-hmm. You sit LeBron James, you rest them for Friday night.
Oh, you're going to do that for AD?
You're doing it to get out of playing Denver in round one.
AD may get hurt being on the bench with a back spasm.
Well, I understand.
You can't risk that.
Listen, I understand that it flies in the face of everything that we think sports competition is supposed to be. I understand it's wrong, but at the same time, logic just dictates it. When they're done next week, yep. I hope they feel good about the fact that at least we played as hard as we could on that Tuesday night.
As a competitor, it doesn't matter what position you're in. As a player, front office, scout, you can't look yourself in the mirror if you're going to drop a game.
I get it.
You can't.
I understand
for OKC.
That.
Like,
now figure out how to get a win.
But my point
winning
is,
the series, get a
how
win.
How many games
Welcome
over
to basketball?
How many games over the course of the season did they not try to win? Did they not play this guy? Did they not play that guy? We're treating the one play-in game, which didn't, and by definition, have more significance than those other ones did. In fact, it was more advantageous to lose than the regular season games were when we sat out this guy for ankle management and sat out that guy for load management and sat out that guy because he doesn't play in back-to-backs. We do that in this league now. So the idea of doing it in the play-in, I get it. It sounds different. And the reasoning would sound a little chicken. But at the end of the day,
strategy.
It probably would have been the right thing to do.
As Anchorman said, I don't believe you.
Okay, fair enough. We'll come back to that as we go. More basketball in this morning, but let's get back to the NFL. Did you hear Dak Prescott? So he's out the other night, and he was being asked about his contract, and he said negotiations have not really begun as he enters the final year of a four-year, $160 million deal. He also made it clear he's not afraid of the possibility of playing elsewhere after this year.
I'm not going to say I fear being here or not. I don't fear either situation, to be candid with you. I love this game and love to play and love to better myself as a player and my teammates around me. Right now it's with the Dallas Cowboys. It's where I want to be and that's where I am and that's the focus. And after the season, we'll see where we're at. And if the future holds that, then if not, we'll go from there.
All right. So again, to be clear, I mean, he's at a charity event. I mean, this was not a press conference, but generally speaking, those charity events turn into press conferences.
They do.
Right? Like, can we remind everyone at home exactly what it is that's left on his contract, exactly what it is talking about here?
He's got 1 year left on his contract. His cap hit this year is over $55 million, and they're on the hook for $40 million in cap charges next year, even if he's not on the team. So we've reached the point where they need an extension or they need to be thinking about him going elsewhere. But what you're hearing is a completely comfortable person. Like, he knows his worst-case scenario is he hits free agency as a starting quarterback. So he's fine either way. And I think the sense I've gotten all along is that he and the team are both fine with where things stand.
Robert, how do you feel about things where they stand and those comments?
Yeah, I mean, Greeny, listening to Dak talk, he's in Dallas, but he ain't happy. And I don't blame him. Like, when a man is happy in a relationship, he says, I love you, baby. I love being with you. This is the time of my life. Dak never once said, I love playing for the Cowboys. He sat there and he said, you know what? I don't fear being without you. You know, I like playing daddy. I like feeding the dog. I just don't like doing it with you. And I understand why he feels that way. They let half his offensive line walk out the door. They let his starting running back walk out the door. And they put him in a contract year and say, we're not going to pay you or extend you, but we want you to go out and win us a Super Bowl with a lesser team. The man is literally sitting in front of the podium and screaming, help me. Help me, guys, and they're not doing it. So I understand where he's coming from, but maybe this will work out like it did for Joe Flacco, and the Ravens were able to win a Super Bowl when he was in a contract year. I know Dak's going to have that mindset going into this season.
It's worth pointing out, though, that he's there. He's there for voluntary workouts.
Yeah.
And we tend to point out when guys aren't.
Right.
Right? And we say, oh, this means they're unhappy and all that stuff. He's actually there, and I think that does say something about how he feels.
Because he continues
about
to do the right thing at
CD
all times.
CD Lamb's not there.
As he always has.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Micah Parsons wasn't there at one point last week either. So, I mean, he continues to do the right thing at every turn, as he always has.
Yeah.
And look, Robert, to your point, it worked out great for Joe Flacco, who won a Super Bowl and became the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. And it worked out great for Kirk Cousins, who twice has become a free agent and both times cashed in huge. So there's no losing scenario in this for Dak Prescott. The question quickly, Mel, is how does all this inform what we expect them to do Thursday and Friday and Saturday?
The emphasis is helping out Dak Prescott with the offensive line, because Dak Prescott's not going to survive a season with this offensive line unless they add two and possibly three offensive linemen, get a running back, another receiver, defensive tackle, off-ball linebacker. They got a ton of needs, but the offensive line is where it begins and ends. They got to address it in the first round, in the second round possibly, maybe in the third round, Spencer Rattler, quarterback, South Carolina, maybe if you want to do that, but you better look at the offensive line early and often.
Absolutely. You talked about Spencer Rattler. That would be a quarterback for the future. You never know. We'll see. In the meantime, a quarterback of the present, meaning of this week, is J.J. McCarthy. He's the most interesting prospect in this draft. And when we come back, Graziano is going to explain to you how he is going to rewrite the entire top of Thursday night's events. That's next.
The We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You are watching Get Up. We are presented by ESPN Bet. And as we count the days down to the NFL draft, earlier this morning I asked Mel Kiper to identify the biggest questions he has. And one of his top three was, where will J.J. McCarthy go? How high in the draft and who will take him? He is the subject of so much trade speculation and all the rest of that. And this morning, as we were bandying it about in our meeting, Dan Graziano brought up a very interesting possibility that McCarthy would definitely be a piece of as far as what might happen with the first four picks in this draft.
There's a lot of people that think the quarterbacks are going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, which has never happened before. The issue is, of course, what it costs to get one of those picks, right? If you're talking about the Vikings trading up from 11, that's an expensive trade, right? If you have to get to 3 or 4, it's probably going to cost you the 2 first-round picks you have this year and 1 next year. So you have to ask the question, not is J.J. McCarthy worthy of a top 5 draft pick, is he worthy of 3 first-round picks? Is the cost justified by the kind of player you think he's going to be? So look, what happens, right? If we say it's Caleb Williams 1, Jaden Daniels 2, what do the Patriots do? They're going to start hearing from teams. If the Commanders were to take McCarthy or May and Jaden Daniels is 3, maybe the Patriots run up there with the card. But I guarantee you they're going to get calls from the Las Vegas Raiders because Antonio Pierce and Jaden Daniels know each other a long time and they're interested in possibly making that happen. So depending on what Washington does and then depending on what New England does, it's going to affect the level of interest in the trade-ups for the 3 and 4, and that ties to McCarthy.
That's exactly right. And that also, the Giants would be another team that
we've
talked a lot about, and their move up wouldn't be as substantial as what you're talking about with Minnesota coming up from 6.
But again, depends on what happens, right? Like let's say it goes Caleb and Daniels and McCarthy. Like, do the Giants like Drake May better than J.J. McCarthy? Are they more likely to try and go up from 6 to 4 if that's the guy that's left there? So a lot of this will happen in the moment on Thursday night.
This is where it gets fascinating. Mel, pick it up from there. What do you think?
I think it goes somewhere in the top 5 or 6. It's too rich for me. I'm at 15 on the big board, so I think you overdraft quarterbacks. That's what we see in the NFL time and time again. That's going to happen with J.J. McCarthy. Great for him. Great for Jim Harbaugh to be at that number 5 spot and say, hey, if you want my quarterback, who's the best player in this draft according to Jim Harbaugh, come up and get him. And they can benefit from that. So it'll be really interesting to see the Giants. They desperately need a receiver. They get no explosive plays. Haven't had a 1,000-yard receiver in 6 years. But they pass on that to help Daniel Jones or get his heir apparent and still not have an explosive receiver. So it's going to be really fascinating to see what happens at the top 6 with J.J. McCarthy, because he is a critical entity, because I believe at that spot he's being overdrafted. As I said, I have him number 15 right now on my final big board.
And Robert, the way that Dan just posed it, I think, is an interesting one. If you're picking 6th, for example, the Giants, then you're deciding to take him with the 6th pick if he's still sitting there. If you're any of these other teams, you are, to the point Dan just made, not just using the pick, but you are trading at least 2 ones, we would assume, to get up there, and maybe more than that. Do you, Robert Griffin, believe that would be a good move for the Vikings or one of these other teams to make?
No, Greeny, I don't. And it's not because J.J. McCarthy is not a good player. I think J.J. McCarthy is worthy of a top 5 pick. I think if he's there at 6 and the Giants truly believe that he's the quarterback of the future, take him. But it's going to be so many assets that these teams have to give up to go get him. And I'm not even worried about necessarily the money or the picks in future years. It's about building your team today. And in today's NFL, teams have to have 1, 2, wide receiver number ones, a great tight end, a really good offensive line, and a great running back. If you go get J.J. McCarthy and you trade up to get him and give up those assets, you're actually putting him at a detriment. And I don't want to see that for any young quarterback going into a situation where they don't have weapons around them. If he falls to you, awesome. Pick him. But I would not move up to go get him and give up those assets.
And Dan, just very quickly, because I'm up against the clock here on something else. You had mentioned this morning what the Giants do might also be determined by whether or not Malik Nabers is still on the board
They pick. That's the thing. If it goes Caleb and Jaden Daniels and May and McCarthy and then now you have the two receivers go, what are we doing? No. The question was if the two receivers are gone, Harrison and Nabers.
Right. If it goes Harrison and Nabers,
do the Giants
maybe
sit tight and take McCarthy, or do they try and trade back if they don't love him?
And Joe Walt, the offensive lineman, is the other player in the middle of that. All right. I have much more on this as we go, and much more on the NBA playoffs. But all the NHL playoffs are underway as well, and P.K. Subban is back in our studio. And first, let's start before anything else. This is one of the most remarkable goals, P.K., that we've ever seen. Adam Lowry. I want you to watch this. It's hard to see it initially, but as we watch it more closely over and over again, this puck is going to hit the post three different times.
Greeny, you know this. Hockey is a game of inches, and that's all it takes to potentially win a game, a series, and the Stanley Cup on full display last night, and the Winnipeg Jets were flying high.
It hit the post three times. After review, it was ruled a goal. The Jets went on to win it 7-6. I'm told you have something for me.
Yeah, can I get the graphic up, please? Because, Greeny, did you know the number of times a team named Jets have scored seven in a playoff game in the last 13 years? So we got the Winnipeg Jets who did two, and the New York Jets did zero. Can we put the Dallas Cowboys up? Do we have their stats?
No.
PK? I'm sure, Dallas.
I haven't seen you in a long time, and you walk
I'm coming
in.
Strong, dude. I'm coming strong on the
and
show.
During the best week of my life, the Jet fans love the draft. You do realize this is when we have a chance to win.
Well, you know what? The draft's going to be important because the Jets have been flying too high.
We need the help. All right. Well, the folks here in New York are excited about the Rangers, the President's Cup Trophy winners. Oh, well, let's take a look at their highlights from yesterday. Caps and Rangers, second period. Game is scoreless. Matt Rempe. He is a hero in this town.
Rempire State Building, and it's the Rempire State of Mind. Matt Rempire has been running wild all over MSG, along with his teammates Barkley Goudreau, Jimmy Vesey from Boston, now the pride of Broadway, running wild. Yesterday, they set the tone for the Rangers. They came out. Jimmy Vesey had a goal and assist. Barkley Goudreau, two assists. Matt Rempe got things going with a goal. And Artemi Panarin. This guy is the guy to watch for the Rangers. He's the straw that stirs the drink. Was up for MVP. Rangers had it all going on. And Chris Kreider ices it. Makes it 4-1. And watch this. Look at the pat. You think they're fired up at MSG? As they should be.
Kreider with a goal in seven of his last eight playoff games.
Alec Ovi, no shot.
No shots for the fourth time in his playoff career. Rangers win game one 4-1. So we know the President's Trophy winner does not always have great success in this postseason. How far are these Rangers going to go?
Listen, I won the President's Trophy with Nashville, and we lost in the second round, actually, to the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah.
We lost to them. They're the second-place team. It's extremely difficult to win, but I think that this might be the best balanced roster for the New York Rangers since 94 when they won the Stanley Cup. And I got to keep it real. They have physicality now. And everybody wants to talk about Matt Rempe and that he can fight. But he brings us an intangible that the Rangers haven't had in a long time. That physicality, that energy that they have. I think the Rangers are going to the Stanley Cup final. I don't see why they can't. Will they win the Stanley Cup when they get there? That remains to be seen on who's on the other side, because Vegas is my pick to win it all. But the New York Rangers are going to have a shot to win the Cup. I expect them to be in the final, Green.
The last President's Trophy winner to win the Stanley Cup was Chicago in 2013. So you're saying Vegas to win the West? Who wins it? You got Vegas and the Rangers in the final.
Vegas isn't tough. They got Dallas in the first round. I really believe that might be the toughest series for them if they end up getting to the finals. Dallas, a deep team, hungry. Jamie Benn, Tyler Seguin, the whole crew, Matt Duchene, Heiskanen, Ottinger in net. These guys are poised to want to make a deep run. But you know what? You want to beat the champs? You got to beat the champs. And Vegas has only gotten better. Picking up Thomas Hertl, Anthony Mantha, Noah Hanifin on the back end. If you believe it, Greeny, they got deeper. So this is a team that's poised to make another run.
PK Subban knows it all. And listen, despite your little shot at me there early, it is delightful to have you back.
Those are just numbers. you know this business. It's all about stats and numbers.
So. All right, we will see. We'll have much more with PK as we go. And the Cup playoffs continue with the Maple Leafs and the Bruins, followed by the Golden Knights and Stars on ESPN. On ESPN2, we have Hurricanes, Islanders, and Kings, Oilers. This is the place tonight for all your Stanley Cup action. Meanwhile, coming up, is the risk worth the reward for Joel heading into Game 2 tonight? Should he even be playing on that knee? We'll answer that question and more right after this. Let's get up on ESPN.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.